Recently we were looking at Nicodemus, who was gently rebuked by Jesus because he was a teacher of Israel, yet did not understand the truly godly truths, because he couldn't make sense of the earthly truths that he had been already given. And Jesus went back to those earthly truths, the story we found in the old section of the Bible, the Old Testament, which Nicodemus knew very well, so that he might discover the things of God to which it points. Our greatest tragedy today would be to hear this story of Jesus' arrest, his court appearance, his conviction, his condemnation, his death, the earthly truths which we have been given, but to fail to understand the truly godly truths that bring it would be a great tragedy. That would be like us looking at a picture of a flower because we can't be bothered to turn our head and to look at the real thing. It would be like trying to settle for Facebook friends instead of actual friends. It would be like reading the history of the Gallipoli story without appreciating what it might mean. In one way, what we have read today is an account of injustice with the most terrible results, a cruel and inhumane death. And as tragic as it was, Jesus' death was one of tens of thousands of crucifixions which are recorded in history. Most of us might remember the name Spartacus, maybe through the old movie by Kirk Douglas, that of a slave rebel, a rebellion, just after the destruction of Jerusalem in the early 70s. It's recorded that the Romans killed 6,000 slaves after that war by crucifying them. After Jerusalem's fall, they tried to stand against the might of Rome. The Jewish people were crucified, so many that they actually had to crucify them on the walls of the Jerusalem, hang them there. Jesus' death was not the most horrific death. It was very common. Jesus himself would have seen people on crosses way before he himself went to a cross. It was considered so horrible that the Roman citizens were exempt from ever being crucified. So we have this tragic, benign, common story of its time, this earthly story. Why do we hold this one death as important? Why is this one death significant? What is the meaning that gives this one person's unjust and cruel death significance? So much so that in the world today, people, believers, will be gathering in small groups, in big groups, to remember this death. Why this one? Why do we call it Good Friday if it's just a story of injustice and cruelty? Even in our scripture class during the week, one of the boys, why is it called Good Friday? Shouldn't we call it Bad Friday? Well, if this is just one more story of injustice, yes, it is Bad Friday. So, but we need to understand the truly godly truths that come from this earthly story. And it's no surprise that today we read from Psalm 22. It is recognised of all the Psalms, which were written hundreds of years before Jesus' death, before Jesus' birth. And what we see is the psalm, the prophecies match up so well with the eyewitness accounts. Whether it's Jesus' cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or the psalmist who said, scorned by men, despised by the people, all who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shake their head. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Or when the psalmist said, I am poured out like water, that all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax and has melted away within me. I can't count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. And of course we see that all in the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' death. If this was the only prophecy to come true, then of course we might call this coincidence. But this is one of the vast numbers of prophecies, coincidences if you must, that tell of Jesus' death from the Old Testament. The significance of his death in the psalm is seen towards the end, verse 26 of Psalm 22. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They will seek the Lord. Though they who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord and he rules over the nations. Jesus' death is not limited to a local backwater of the Roman colony, which was called Jerusalem. The effects of this death will be seen to the ends of the earth. In fact, we are here today, as far as away as you can get from Jerusalem. I did research. There's a couple of places further than Jerusalem. Nuuk in Greenland, or Juneau in Alaska. But we are one of the furthest people away from Jerusalem in the world today. And here we are with families all giving glory to God, bowing down before him, because dominion really does belong to the Lord. He does rule over nations. This is not just a tragic event. It is something longed for, expected. Sad, yes, of course, painful and unjust. But the only way possible that Jesus himself chose to take on to enable us to know God. The truth is that the physical pain was nothing compared to the point on the cross where the sins of the world, past, present and future, were placed upon the head of Jesus. At that point, the Father turns his face away from the Son. The Father's favour, his love, his delight is taken from the Son. At that moment, because he became sin for us. When he became sin for us, he felt the abandonment of God and cried, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus Christ experienced the punishment of hell so that we would not have to. That is what this death is about. It's not a matter of it would not matter if the whole world was crucified for us. No one could take our sins because each one had their own sins to bear. Jesus, sinless, did not have his sins. And so this God-man, the perfect one, he died and went to hell so that we would know only the favour of God. We would only know his love. We would only know his delight, not his wrath. This is more than just a sad earthly story. Because his death was the plan of God. Before time itself, Jesus himself willingly submitted himself, knowing that it was the fulfillment of prophecy. His followers later, through the Spirit of God and their lives, came to understand and make known the truly godly truths about this event. The Apostle Peter, after he's one of the closest friends of Jesus, years later would write in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body but made alive by the Spirit." Paul wrote, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he left the sins committed before him in punishment." There's a very good reason why we can't just respond to this story in any old way we want to. It's because God has appointed Jesus to be God's only representative. Jesus makes it clear that he is the only way to the Father, and that is through Jesus himself. And why would we think we can go any other way than we choose? Who better than the Son to meet the Father? It is only in relationship with God through Jesus that we find life with God. And that is why this is Good Friday. God himself looked at the sacrifice of Jesus and he said, that is good. Jesus said, it is finished. The curtain of the temple, that heavy curtain that kept us from the presence of God, was torn top to bottom. And later we'll read how the curtain is described as God, as Jesus' own body. Enter through Jesus or not at all. That is the truly God, the truth that comes in this story. We were saying, through Jesus or not at all. And that's why we break the bread. We break the bread because we recognise it's through Jesus or not at all. Jesus' body broken for us. Let's pause to pray.